he talks in a little bit. This is last. Okay, it's like this. Testify.
Morning. Hope you've had a great week this week. If you can hear me, how about blowing your horn? All right, fantastic. You will notice in your packet has become our bulletin. We're not going to be doing both the packet and the bulletin for now to try to save money. So you will be just the packet each week, and that'll be your bulletin and everything. To give you a few things, it's been a very busy week for the church this week. Our ladies fed 70 frontline workers on Tuesday there at the TD Convention Center. On Thursday, they fed 25 at the homeless veterans center there at the house in Greenville. And then also was able to feed a family in our community on Thursday night. So I want to say a great big thank you to all of the ladies who worked so hard putting the food together, all of that for us. Thank you so much. Our ladies have been very busy making masks for a Wilderness Way this week and for the community. I know this week about 80 to 100 masks have been made just this week. And so I want to thank our ladies. So far, we're getting close to 500 masks so far that they have made already. So thank y'all so much for that. And then want to remind everyone, graduation Sunday will be Sunday, May the 31st, the last Sunday of this month, all right? Sunday, May the 31st, if you're graduating from high school, tech school, or college, please let me know. We would like to honor you during this time on that Sunday morning. High school, tech school, or college, if you're graduating, please let us know. And then also, as we mentioned last Sunday, the food pantry, it will be open on May the 16th. On your May 16th from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m., we will have our first food distribution day. So we're going to need help with that. We will be setting up that Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m., Saturday morning, May 16th at 8:30 a.m. And so we'll need help setting up. And then also on Wednesday, May the 13th at 1 p.m., we'll be putting all the food bags together. Around 100 food bags we'll be putting together for those in our community. So we're going to need a lot of help putting those food bags together and then also serving everybody. We're going to have everything set up outside on tables that Saturday morning for them to pick up. They'll drive down the ramp there in by the social hall. We'll give them the food, and they'll drive off. Won't even get out of their vehicle. So be a great day that day, and I do want to remind you of just what's going on. Then also, on this Thursday night, we're going to do something different. 6:30 p.m., we're going to be here in our parking lot. It is National Day of Prayer this Thursday, 6:30 p.m., we're going to be here in the parking lot. We're going to have a time of prayer, praying over what's going on in our nation, the virus, our presidents, and all the governors, everything that's going on. So we do ask you to be here Thursday night at 6:30 p.m., Also, our governor has declared today national, statewide day of prayer here in South Carolina, Governor McMasters. I want to thank him for all of his hard work through this whole time. He has been tremendous with working with the churches. I want to thank him for all of his diligence and work that he's put in. So remember that. We will be having a little prayer time this morning for just a few moments. But then we will also have Thursday night. We'll be here probably about 30 minutes or so. It'll be just a prayer time that we'll be having. We'll have different people leading different aspects of the prayer time. And so we're going to have a great time Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Hope you can be here with us Thursday night. Let's pray, and we're going to jump in this morning. Father God, we just humbly bow before you today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for just loving us. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are a holy and awesome, almighty God. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we're seeing numbers in the coronavirus begin to either plateau or begin to come down. And Father, I pray in the days to come we'll continue to see a decrease in those numbers. Continue to have your hands upon us, Lord. Strengthen us, meet needs that are in our lives. And Father, just help us in the days to come to be the men and women of God you called us to be. Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' precious name we all say, amen. Amen.
All right. Good morning from the praise team this morning. If you'll notice, we have made it, all of us, out onto the porch. I want to thank Pelham because he's got us set up here where we can hear and then you can hear. We're excited. We're excited this morning. Thank you for the platform. I'm sure I'll be wandering out on it while we're singing. You know, I got to move when I sing to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning we have chosen again for our first song, a choir song. You all know it. You've got some words there to go by, but we're just going to talk about testifying this morning. So sing with us.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live and for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live and for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Testify how God took the heat out of the fiery fire. Come on, Daniel, what do you have to say? The lions made a pillow for my bed today.
Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Somebody ought to tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Somebody ought to testify. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me and it was just in time. Lord, I'm gonna praise his name. He said it's just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Let's testify this morning.
Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify.
I said,
for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
I see that
man. Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify.
I said, for God I'll live,
for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
I said, for God I'll live,
for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
I said, for God I'll live,
for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Somebody ought to testify.
Amen.
All right. All right. Praise God. Praise God this morning. We are going to go ahead and head to our offertory song. And this is a hymn with a little twist that we put on it. You all probably know it all by heart. So sing with us. Use your sheets if you need to. But let's just worship God this morning. What a beautiful morning to be here, to be with our family. So blessed. We are so blessed. Just join in and sing with us this morning.
that amazing grace. Oh, that he gives so freely. Here we go.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Not only be in your house, Lord, on your property, but, Father, to have the privilege to be able to assemble today. Father, I thank you so much for that. Father, I pray our governor has not been like many of the other governors in our nation, Lord, and has put such restrictions on churches where they can't even meet and not even be able to assemble, Lord, even on their property in any fashion or form. And, Father, I pray, Lord, right now, you just bless our governor. you'd have your hands upon him. Lord, as he leads us during this time, and Lord, I pray you'd give him godly wisdom, Lord. I've been in meetings with him twice this week. And Father, he is a man who fears you, Lord. He's a man who is active in his church, Lord. He's a man who believes in prayer. And Father, it was his idea for him to, if we wanted him as the Southern Baptist, as Greenville Baptist Association and South Carolina Baptist Convention, if we would have wanted him to pass a proclamation calling for a statewide day of prayer, Lord, that was his idea. Lord, he wanted to do that. He wanted us to be able to gather and to pray and to lift him and our nation and our state up before you, Father. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we do have a godly man leading us at this time in our state, Lord. I pray you'd bless him. I pray you'd give him wisdom. Lord, you tell us in the book of James, if you lack wisdom, Lord, that you would pour it out upon us liberally. And Lord, today we recognize that today is a statewide day of prayer in the state of South Carolina. Father, we understand we still have people who are sick from the coronavirus. We still have people who are dying, Lord. We have families who have been affected, Lord, because of lost loved ones or lost jobs, Lord. And Father, I pray your hands be upon each and every one of them. I pray you would move mightily in their lives. I pray that you would, Lord, use us as a church and as churches, Lord, to some way, somehow, to be able to be that intervening force in this time to meet the needs of those that are in such desperate need. Father, I thank you for our church, Lord, Cedar Shoals, and what we've done so far in this coronavirus, Lord. Lord, they have been so faithful to give and to step out and to serve. And Lord, I thank you for all of the ladies, Lord, and who have been making food, Lord, and cooking so much that we may meet needs in our community and in our county, Lord. Thank you so much for each and every one of them. Father, I do praise you in the days to come for what you're going to do. Father, I thank you for the food that's been already been brought this morning for the food pantry. Father, if someone forgot to bring this morning, Lord, and they'd like to bring, if they just contact me this week, Lord, we'll get it, the church open, so they can bring it into the social hall this week. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do through the food pantry, an opportunity for us to minister to those right here in our community who are struggling, Lord, during this time to find food, Lord. I praise you for what you're going to do. Lord, bless this offering we're about to take, Lord. Lord, I pray you would use it. I pray you would multiply it in a mighty way. Father, I pray that you would use it in a powerful way, that it would be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom, to see not only many come and know Christ, but to see many needs in our community met with the precious gospel and the precious life-giving food that can be used. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. right, we're going to sing one more time before Pastor Shane brings the message. This one talks about being a child of God. And I wonder, how many times have we ever told somebody, I'm a child of God, and explained to them what that means? What that means? Sing with us this morning, Who Am I? That the highest King welcomes me.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am. I am who You say I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like I need to say you may be seated, but we're ready. Amen.
Songs we've sung this morning. If you will take your Bible back with me to Acts chapter 2 this morning. Last Sunday I shared with you, as we've been in our series of What's Next, I shared with you last Sunday about the Lord's provision for the disciples and how they then became an unstoppable force for Him. Today I want to share with you how they became that unstoppable force and how we, as God's children, those that are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, can also become an unstoppable force for Him. The passage that shows us today exactly what it takes for me and you to become that unstoppable force for Jesus Christ in our world today. Look with me at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want you to see first that they were unified. The disciples here, they were unified. The word one accord means unanimous. Means to be unanimous. They were unified as one in heart and in mind. It means to be one in spirit and in purpose. The idea here is that they had Jesus in common, and they were after the very same thing, all of them together, each and every one of them. They were enforced together in all things. They were focusing and concentrating their thoughts and energies upon seeking a holy and almighty God, and only a holy and almighty God in this time. As Christians, we must unite together today. Today, we must come together in a united force to reach the world for Jesus Christ. One individual, one church cannot do it by themselves. Before this coronavirus hit, the biggest Southern Baptist church in the nation ran 29,000 people on Sunday morning. 29,000 people. Their budget was $40 million a year was their budget. And I want you to know, even at 29,000 people, that one church, every one of those 29,000 people would have had to reach 262,000 people to reach the 7.6 billion people that are alive today on the earth. See, there's no way that one church can do it. $40 million, and I want you to know, $40 million is a tremendous amount. But when you do it out over 7.6 billion people, it comes out to 0.005 cents. I mean, like 0.05 of a penny is what would go to each reaching each person for Jesus Christ out of that church. I want you to know, one church can't do it. We as Christians must unite together. We must come together as a real body of Jesus Christ, not as individual churches. Churches have to stop competing with each other. It's not us competing with Riverside, us competing with Washington, us competing with Beach Springs or any other church around us. It's all of our churches coming together, working together to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we have to get to. That is what we have to become as God's children. We must unite together under the umbrella, under the banner of Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Nothing else but Jesus must matter to me and you. To reach the world, churches have to stop being in competition with each other. We've got to start loving each other as the body of Christ. If we're all saved, we're going to spend an eternity with each other in heaven. So we need to start now here on earth serving together and working together with each other to reach people for Jesus Christ. Verse number 2 through 4. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This morning I want you to see that they were all filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. They were filled with the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a scene we begin to see unfold in these three verses here. They were sitting in the house. They were all gathered together. And something unexpected began to happen in a mighty way. Something unexpected begins to happen in this home. They were caught off guard, the disciples. They were startled, I'm sure, with the moving of what they began to see. This was a supernatural event of Almighty God that began to take place in this moment. First is the rushing mighty wind that filled the house. When you study these three words, rushing mighty wind, it is a rushing, violent, powerful wind that they begin to hear. Now, it's not the actual wind that's blowing through the house. It's the roar, it's the sound of the wind that they're hearing, the Word of God says here. It's the sound of like a hurricane or a tornado rushing through that house, that roar that you hear in those moments. This deafening roar was only heard in this house. I want you to know this was not something God did for everybody in that area they were at. This is a miracle and a moving of the Spirit of God that God only does inside this house that the disciples are in while they're there waiting for the Spirit of Almighty God, while they're waiting for God to do something special after Jesus has ascended back to heaven. And the two angels have told the disciples, why do you keep gazing up at the one who is left? He is going to come again. And Jesus had already told them he was going to send the Spirit of God. He was going to send a comforter, a helper for them. So now they're in the house. They're waiting. They're praying. They're seeking God. They're asking God to move in mighty ways. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to move in a powerful and mighty way. This supernatural event was just for them. Man, this was a supernatural event that God began to move to do and to move through that empowered his disciples, that strengthened them, that they may be able to carry out the work he had called them to do. Second, we see the appearance of the cloven tongues like fire that sat upon each one of them. The tongue was not fire. It was like fire. So it looked like fire. It had the appearance of fire. In the Greek, when you study the word cloven tongues, it means a tongue that was parting or dividing. In essence, it was splitting. The idea is that of a single tongue appeared, and then it began to split and divide itself, and it began to rest upon each one of the disciples there in that room. The tongue of fire represents the presence of the Holy Spirit, which was to dwell in the disciples and in every believer of Jesus Christ from that moment on. The Holy Spirit appeared as a tongue, the very instrument me and you are to use to speak, preach, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone in this world today. What a powerful image there of the Holy Spirit as he comes with that tongue, in that form of that tongue. So me and you would know that was the main instrument Jesus would use for us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world with the empowerment and the equipping and the strengthening of the Spirit of God, leading and guiding and directing us in everything that we would do for him in the days to come. Third, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled here means to be fully filled, to be filled completely. They were filled with all of the Holy Spirit in this moment. When we get saved, we are fully filled with the Holy Spirit. He comes fully and wholeheartedly and lives inside of us fully and completely in that moment. We are given everything we need in that moment through salvation, through faith in Jesus Christ, and the helper, the equipping, and the indwelling of the Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit dwells us permanently. He enables us, he equips us, he encourages us, he strengthens us, he helps us, he convicts me and you of sin that is in our lives, and he points all people to Jesus Christ. That is the work and the job of the Spirit of Almighty God, is to point everyone to Jesus Christ. This supernatural event of God gave the disciples the confidence that they needed to boldly go and stand before all people and share the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, to go and stand before those who had just crucified Jesus Christ, who were looking for them to kill them possibly. They were able to stand before them and boldly proclaim Jesus was the only way. To proudly proclaim that Jesus Christ was the only Savior of the world, the only Messiah, the only way to heaven to be with the Father. That was the message they were boldly able to proclaim in this world. Verses 4 through 13, look at with me this morning. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad or was spread abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, in Phygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers in Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Thirdly here, they were enabled by the Spirit to speak different languages. Now, this is not a charismatic speaking in tongues, an unknown language, or a spiritual language that the disciples are speaking in this moment. This is a supernatural movement of the Holy Spirit that enables these disciples to speak the different languages that were represented around them in that time. Where everybody had come here to Jerusalem, when they had all come to this area, they were able to speak each language of every person that was represented. People had come from all the known world in this day and in this time to be here. But the crowds were able to hear the disciples speaking in their own language. Languages they did not know and did not know how to speak. It would be like this morning, people from being here from Russia, Italy, French, Spain, other parts of the world, all languages of the world are gathered in our parking lot. And as I stand here and speak, they were able to hear in their own native language as I was speaking to them. This is what happened with the disciples. The enabling of the Spirit of Almighty God empowered them, equipped them, and used them to be able to speak and reach everyone that was represented there in one moment as the Spirit of God enabled them. Acts 2, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Fourthly, here we see they were devout men, devoted men to Almighty God. The word devote here means reverence, worshipful, and careful. It means a person who handles spiritual matters very carefully. They were committed and completely surrendered to the Lord. Everything they had and everything they were, they had given unto Jesus and Jesus completely in every way. They held nothing back for him. They gave Jesus their all. Every single thing they had, they gave to Jesus Christ. Me and you today must become fully committed, surrendered followers of Jesus Christ. We must fully surrender to him today in our walk and in our life. We must today completely sell out to Jesus Christ in everything. Nothing else in our life should matter more than Jesus Christ. Not our family, not our job, not our money, not anything else in our lives. Jesus must become number one in my life and in your life if we're going to be fully devoted, surrendered followers of Jesus Christ today. We must sell out completely to him. Acts chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." I want you to know, when you become a fully sold out follower of Jesus Christ and Jesus begins to move in your life, Satan is going to begin to work against you. When God begins to move, Satan will always try to discredit the moving of Almighty God. Satan will always try to discredit the moving of Almighty God in your life. I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. That when you try to sell out to Almighty God, you try to be the man or woman of God he's called you to be, you try to serve him fully, Satan is always going to do what he has to discourage you, to destroy you, to devour you, and to devastate your life however he can. Immediately, Satan here begins to work to destroy what God was doing in this moment. Here are the disciples. They're sharing the gospel message with all that are represented there. And every man, woman, child is hearing it in their own personal language that they speak. And all of a sudden, Satan, through these men, through these people that are there, begin to mock the disciples. They begin to say, "Oh, they're drunk with wine. They're drunk. They don't know what they're doing." And they begin mocking the disciples. Anytime Jesus starts to move supernaturally in your life, Satan will always do whatever it takes and whatever he has to stop you and discourage you from being able to be used like God wants to use you. He will do whatever he can to discourage you in every moment. Our series is called What's Next? How do me and you become that unstoppable force for the Lord? We need to first become unified under one purpose, heart and mind. That is Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. We have to put aside everything else in our life. Have no other agendas but what God's agenda is. We must be devoted and fully surrendered to Jesus Christ in everything. We need to have the Spirit of Almighty God fill us, enable us, equip us to serve him and to reach the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand everything God begins to do in our life in a supernatural moving of the Spirit of God, Satan will always try to discourage us and stop us. We become that unstoppable force for God when we are united together as one. We are filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. We are devoted to Almighty God. And the Spirit enables us to do what God has called us to do. Can I ask you this morning, church? Are you that unstoppable force for Almighty God? Are you that unstoppable force this morning that is telling everyone about Jesus Christ, that is not letting anything stop you, nothing else is more important to you but Jesus, that you are sharing Jesus with everybody you come in contact with, that you today have been the lighthouse and the example for Him, and you today are being the light that is sharing the gospel everywhere in a world that is dark today and we're lost without Jesus Christ? Are you today the lighthouse and the ambassador for Him? We'll never be that force for Almighty God until we unite together as one. Until we sell out completely to a holy and almighty God. Until we allow the Spirit of God to not only fill us, but enable us and equip us and strengthen us to do what God's called us to do. And we will never be what God wants us to be until we move forward to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, God has given us the greatest opportunity we've ever had in our lifetime to share Jesus. Through this coronavirus that's so bad, it's so horrible, that everybody's so scared about, God has opened up doors today in America for us to share with people who have never had any interest before in the gospel, who have never had any interest in Jesus Christ or the church or anything else ever before. Can I ask you today, who this week have you shared Jesus with? Who this week have you shared Jesus Christ with this week? Have you told anybody about Jesus? I don't mean that you just lived it before them. Can I tell you, the Word of God doesn't just say we have to live it. We've got to open our mouth and let our tongue begin to share the gospel with somebody that it may save and change their lives. Who have you shared Jesus Christ with this week? Who this week have you sat down with? Have you loved on? Have you called? Have you emailed? Have you Facebooked? Have you social media and told them about Jesus Christ this week? Who have you loved enough this week to tell them about the one who saved them and who provided salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Who have you told about Jesus this week? See, we've got to allow the Spirit to enable us to tell others about Him. You say, I don't know enough. The Word of God tells us the Spirit will tell us what to say. The Word will give us what we need to share with someone when we go faithfully to them. Church, I love you. But it's time for us as the body of Christ to become the real true believers in Jesus Christ. To become the supernatural force, unstoppable force of Almighty God that reaches people for Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. There are people today who will die without Jesus Christ, and they will go to a place that we do not want them to go to. They will be sentenced for eternity to a devil's hell if we don't reach them for Jesus Christ. There's people you know that I'll never be able to talk to, that I'll never be able to reach, because they don't know me, but they know you. Are you sharing Jesus Christ with them before it's everlasting too late? Bow your head with me this morning. Maybe this morning you're here, and maybe you're saved, maybe you're a child of God, maybe you're trying to live for the Lord, but this morning you have not become that unstoppable force that Almighty God wants to use. You have not become that unstoppable force He has called me and you to become for Him, that reaches a world that is lost and dying for Jesus Christ today. Maybe this morning, right where you are, you need to ask Christ. You need to ask Almighty God to empower you through the Spirit of God to be the man and woman of God He's called you to be. If that's you, I just simply want you to pray this simple prayer with me this morning. Dear Jesus, I know, Lord, that I'm saved. I know I'm your child, but Father, I'm not walking for you like I ought to. Lord, I'm not being the example and the unstoppable force for you that you've called me to be. Father, I ask you today, Lord, that your hands be upon me. Father, I ask you today, Lord, that you would strengthen me. I pray you would enable me and equip me. Lord, that you would encourage me to be the unstoppable force that I need to be for you in this world. Father, this week, Lord, I pray you would put one person on my heart this week that I would go and share Jesus Christ with before this week is over. That I would sit down or I would call them or I would text them or I would email them or whatever I have to do, Lord. But I would share Jesus with that person so that they would know Jesus loves them and came to save them. Father, help us today to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. Father, help us today to be who you need us to be. Father, thank you today that you love us. Father, help us in the coming days, Lord, to reunite under you, to be filled with the Spirit, to be devoted men and women of God to you, Father. And Lord, enable us to do what you've called us to do right here in our own communities and around the world. Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before you go this morning, I want to talk to you for just a moment. I've been in meetings this week with our governor of the state of South Carolina, Governor McMasters. Was in there Tuesday and Wednesday in the meetings with him about when we're going to be able to get back into our sanctuary, when we're going to be able to get back into the church, when we're going to be able to worship freely without having to worry about all of the disease and all the cleaning problems and all the sanitation problems that we have because of the coronavirus. This week, what we have learned from experts, not only in our state, from around the nation that we've spoken with, is that, yes, we can get into our sanctuary now, which I've told you since the beginning of the coronavirus, we've had full freedom to be in our sanctuary by the governor's orders. Problem is that after every service, we have to have the church completely deep cleaned every time we're in there. Plus, we have to abide by the 20% rule, which means the most we could put in our sanctuary is about 35 people, maybe 40 at the most, which means we'd have to have multiple services on Sunday morning just to be able to have worship services, which means after the first service, we have to have a professional cleaning crew come in, wipe down everything, clean everything, ceilings, walls, floors, pews, seats, doorknobs, handles, doors, everything. Then after the second service, we have to have them come back in a second time and clean everything again. Well, the problem with that is you're looking at, over weeks, you're looking at tens and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. The governor and the experts have told us, some of them fall on, yes, get on back in there now. Some of the experts are falling, and it blew me away. Some of the experts are saying we should not get back into our sanctuaries in close quarters until Easter Sunday 2022. Yes, that's right. I said 2022. 2 years from now. Which I think is unnecessary. Even on the calls, it was on the video calls we were on. That was the point where that was crazy. And I want you to understand that. But I do want you to understand we are going to be safe. We are going to take care of each and every one of us. And we are going to wait until it's right and the right time for us to get back in our sanctuary. I told you it'd be at least the 1st of June before we got in. It looks like now it's probably going to be maybe pushed through the end of summer. We'll be out here possibly. We will just have to see. All right? The problem is if we go back into the sanctuary in any way and anyone has any symptoms of COVID-19 comes into our sanctuary, we have to ask them to quarantine themselves for 15 days. But every person they come in contact with here at the church, we have to put you also into 15-day quarantine. All right? It means you can't work, means you can't get out of your house, means you can't get around anybody for 15 days. Not only that, we have to then bring a professional cleaning crew in. And not only do they have to clean the sanctuary, but they got to clean every building, every room that we have all the way through our social hall to make sure that virus has not been spread anywhere else in the building. Prices are running, I'm talking $10,000 up to do that for our facility. I don't know about you, but we don't have just $10,000 sitting around for that when we're trying to do the ministry of what God's called us to do. So I want you to know, we're going to be cautious, all right? We're going to be very cautious. Not only that, we have people in our own church family who are at very high risk. If you look at the ones who are dying from this virus, those who are dying are the ones that are 70 and over. Also, those who have health conditions, all right? So, when you look at our church, when you look at our people, we have 70 and over, and we have people who are younger than that who have health conditions. So, we're going to be very careful, all right? I want you to understand that. Yes, it's not ideal to be out here. Yes, it's an inconvenience to be out here. Yes, it's going to be hot as we get closer to summer. But I want you to know we're already looking at a new plan for summer. We're probably going to move our services up, and we're going to be meeting earlier during the summer, probably 9 a.m. during the summer. Why? Because when it's 90 degrees out here, you're not going to want to be out here, and I'm not going to want to be out here in the burning up heat, sweating to death. But we do want to be able to worship together. We do want to be able to cry out to our holy and almighty God. And we do want to be able to meet on God's property, to worship a holy and almighty God. Understand, I want to be back in there today. If it was up to me, guys, we'd go back today. But as your pastor, I have to take care of each and every person who's a part of our church. It's not just about me. It's about each and every one of you. I don't want any of you to get this virus. And I don't want any of you dying from this virus. So we're going to be cautious. I love you. And that's why I prayed and I prayed and I prayed about this. And I feel like God is telling us that we have got to be cautious, that we've got to be smart. He's given us common sense to make right decisions as he leads us and as he guides us in these coming days. And guys, we need to take lemons and make lemonade out of them while we're here in our parking lot. This is an opportunity for you and for me to reach people for Jesus Christ during this time. There's many people that won't step foot in a building for Jesus, but they'll come and sit in a parking lot. So we've got to take the opportunity to invite them. We've got to reach them during this time. Try to get them to come, and they may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and come to a saving knowledge of him, and their life will be eternally changed if we as God's children become that unstoppable force that he's called us to be. I want to remind you about the food pantry. If you brought food this morning, items, you can pull down and take them into the social hall. There's different items on different tables in there, okay? There's a table for rice. There's a table for canned goods. There's a table for all different items in there, okay? Just lay your items on there and you can leave out. If you haven't brought them in and you'd like to bring them in or you'd like to give money, call me, contact me. I can open the social hall. You can go in there. You can put your items down. You can bring the money to me, whatever needs to be done, and we will begin working to meet the needs that are in our community. The needs are great for people for food. I know I'm asking you to sacrifice greatly, church. We're sacrificing greatly too during this time, because I truly believe God wants to use us in a mighty way to help people in our own community, to reach people in our own community through providing the food they so desperately need during this time. I love you. And I'm so glad. I'm honored to be your pastor and privileged to be your pastor. If you need anything this week, please let me know. Let's pray. Father God, as we just humbly bow before you this morning, Father, I know, Lord, many are probably upset with the news that I've given them about It's going to be longer than what we thought in the parking lot, possibly, Father. But, Father, I hope, Lord, they understand that this is all about protecting our people. This is all about doing what we can do for God while we're able to do it during this time. Father, we're not being mandated by the government not to do it. We're not being told we can't do it. Our governor has been so supportive of us during this time, Lord. Lord, he has specifically said over and over and over through executive order after executive order that the church is not under these guidelines, Lord. That the church needs to be smart, though. That the church needs to abide by the 20% rule and some of these other rules, social distancing and sanitizing and all of that, Lord, to protect our people. Father, I thank you for loving us today. Father, help us as we move forward with you. Help us to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, a church that will unify today. A church that will be filled with the Spirit of God. A church that will be devoted to you fully in all things, Father. Father, a church today who will allow the Spirit of God to enable us to do what God has called us to do and to step out fully and surrendered and 100% into a new way of service for Him during this time. Father, I believe the church will never look like it's looked before this virus happened. Father, I believe things are going to change drastically in most of our churches. In many churches, shaking of hands will go by the wayside. Hugging necks will go by the wayside because of what has happened. People will be scared. Some people are even saying they're going to be scared to ever come back to the church. Father, I pray that you would give us a peace. Father, you're not a God of fear. You are a God who has given sound mind and peace and love and grace and mercy. Father, may we be of sound mind when the time is right to be back in our sanctuary worshiping together, loving on each other, Lord, like we've always done, but also being careful and protective of our people. Father, protect us this week as we depart. Strengthen us today, Lord. Have your hands upon us. Meet every need that's in our life in these coming days. Be with those that are sick from this virus. I pray you would strengthen them. I pray if it be your will, Lord, you would bring them back to health. But, Lord, if it's not, Lord, I pray that during this time they would come to know Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' precious holy name we all said, amen. You're dismissed. I love you. Have a good day. I love you.
Let's play.